pray for her peace of mind through it all. And Tony's as well.
Yes, yeah.
We indeed pray that is the case.
What's that?
It's more like it's been more of a challenge the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in the few moments that we have, I'm going to share with you a message about the resurrection. Debbie and I were talking about this last night. And,
you know, people make a big deal about the day and everything, and I get things all the time throughout. On the computer, emails and that, and you know how to make sure that you get more and more visitors on Easter Sunday. You know that's the most important day of all, and you get people to come. But I've always believed, and what I've been taught, and I think most of us were taught that as well, is that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Lord's Day. When we gather around this table. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, that there wasn't a specific time in which the Lord arose again, yes. But we have made it a holiday in that. And personally, I have to tell you that, yes, I do have a problem with it. And I refuse to call it that. I have friends that, you know, say, well, that's what the world says, and so that's what the world knows, and so, but that's what we'll call it, the Easter. And I grew up in a church where we were taught that you call Bible things by Bible names, see? So that's why you won't hear me use the terms like Trinity and things like that, because I want to be able to tell people what book, chapter, and verse. And see, and I can't find book, chapter, and verse for that. Easter, I can't find book, chapter, and verse for that. The world has made it what it is. See? And then, and in some ways, what they've done with that, as a result, what society has done with that is that they downplayed the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. They may want to make it just like his birth. You know, when you look at the scriptures, there's nowhere that says that it tells us to celebrate his birth. We do. True. And they made that a big thing. You know, now that's a big commercial thing. But now, you know that this quote thing they call Easter, they made that a big commercial thing too. All you have to do is go to any store, grocery store or what have you. Where are the aisles filled with? Easter baskets, candy, up the yin-yang, you know, and high at the shelves, Mark. And then now after Easter is over, what are you going to find? They're going to all be on sale, aren't they? So you can grab them up, and you can use it for next year, right? You know, that'd be on the cheap side that way. But they made it a commercial thing. And that's one of the issues that I have with it. Another thing, what's today? Now, people will say it's Resurrection Sunday, but what other day is it as well? April 1st. And what is April 1st? April Fool's Day. Debbie's brother John, his birthday is today. He was born April Fool's Day. Boy, did he get razzed about that. Debbie, tell me that. He get razzed about that growing up because he was born April Fool's Day. But did you know that a lot of these, quote, days and holidays and what they made Easter, they didn't have Christian beginnings. They have pagan beginnings. I got kind of interested in this, and
and I looked this up. On this day, you have to go back more than 60 years for the last time Easter, quote Easter, and April Fool's Day were on the same day. For the first time since 1956, year I was born, Easter Sunday falls on April 1st. Hadn't fallen on April 1st since 1956. Since 1900, Easter has fallen on April Fool's Day only four times. 1923, 1934, 1945, and 1956. And you know when it will happen again? 2029. 11 years from now. Not 60, but 11 years from now. But April Fool's has been celebrated on April 1st. It's been observed in some form since the ancient Romans, who had a holiday set aside for what? For pranks. And the holiday typically occurred around the time of the vernal equinox, or the first day of spring, signaling a change from the dark days of winter to the cheery days of spring. And they set aside the day, quote, Easter, to fall on the first Sunday after the first full moon occurring on or after the spring equinox. That's how you get today's date of, quote, Easter. The spring equinox occurs on March 20th this year. So, Easter time falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon occurring on or after the spring equinox. Now, while the Bible doesn't mention Easter, and this is why I don't like the term, and do not like using it, it's believed that its name comes from what? From paganism. It comes from an early celebration of the, what they say, pre-Christian goddess Astarte. Who was what? Typically celebrated at the beginning of the spring. Now, it was changed to Easter by English speakers. But it comes again from pre-Christian days, all the back way back to ancient Roman days. And this goddess, Astarte, or Astra, what do you suppose she was? Goddess of fertility. So you see, to me, why it's important, and why it should be all important to all of us? Bible things by Bible names? We have got two people. We have, and I don't care how few we are or what. And teaching others and bringing others, we have got to share with them what the scriptures teach. What the scriptures teach. That's why it's important that, yes, we know these things, so then indeed that we can teach others. For instance, April Fool's Day. On this day in 1700, English pranksters began popularizing the annual tradition of April Fool's Day by playing practical jokes on each other. It's been celebrated for many, many years, since the ancient Romans. But some historians speculate that April Fool's Day dates back to 1582, when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, as called for by the Council of Trent in 1563. And that people who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize the start of the new year had moved to January 1st and continued to celebrate it during the last week of March through April 1st, they became the butt of jokes and hoaxes. These pranks included having paper fish placed on their backs and being referred to as Poisson d'Avril, April fish, said to symbolize a young, easily caught fish and a gullible person. Historians have also linked April Fool's Day to festivals such as Hilaria, which was celebrated in ancient Rome. And at the end of March in ancient Rome, it involved people dressing up in disguises. And they tied it to the vernal equinox. Isn't that interesting how all this revolves around, really? What? The worship of what? Worship of nature. And what happens in the seasons? It says, or the first day of spring in the northern hemisphere, when Mother Nature fooled people with changing, unpredictable weather. In Scotland, the tradition became a two-day event, starting with hunting the gowk. And what's that mean? Hunting the gowk, and when people were sent on phony errands. Gowk is a Gaelic word for cuckoo bird, a symbol for fool. And that's followed by the Taily Day, which involved pranks played on people's rear ends, such as pinning fake tails or kidney signs on them. See where that came from? So in modern time, people have gone to great lengths to celebrate elaborate April Fool's Day hoaxes. Newspapers, radio, TV stations, and websites participated in the April 1st tradition of reporting outrageous fictional claims that have fooled their audiences. So April Fool's Day. So today, April 1st, April Fool's Day. You imagine what some people would say, you know, see, we believe, we celebrate, not just today, but every Lord's Day, the Lord rose again. April Fools. Many people think we're fools because we believe that. You know that. You think that's a April Fool's joke that God's played on people? Resurrecting his son from the dead? Many people think that. Many people would think that today. Hey, it's April Fool's Day, and you Christians, you're celebrating a guy that arose from the dead. How preposterous is that? Well, many people would think. But you know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold, get that condition. People want to say God has no conditions. You read even in the New Testament and say, God is no, there are no conditions there. Throughout even the New Testament, there's conditions. He says, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, they died.
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. And then Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now get this. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ when he did not raise. If in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then also those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, those who have died. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. See what Paul says there? Brothers and sisters, if this day, April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2018, we're celebrating the Lord's resurrection. If this day is an April Fool's, if it's a Fool's Day, then we are of all to be pitied. But I do not believe that's a Fool's Day, do you? But if we believe not these things, as Paul says, our faith is worthless. But we believe. And that's why we're here. Because we do believe that. The heart of the Bible, I do believe and firmly believe this, that the heart of the Bible, this is one of Paul's most powerful defenses of all. But the heart of the Scriptures, the most important doctrine of the gospel we have, is his resurrection. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I have many friends who believe that. I had a friend that was high, I won't say high, but he was wrote many articles for Christian magazines. I went to school with him. He went to graduate school as well with me. Now he's an atheist. No longer believes. He believes we're fools. But Scripture tells us that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Paul tells us in First Corinthians 15, oh death! Where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? You know why most people have problems with funerals and memorial services and such as that? I really believe it's not so much that they miss the one who has died, the one who has left this earth. You know why I really believe it is? That not we as Christians, we shouldn't. But why many people do? Oh death, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? It is because they do not believe in resurrection from the dead. I saw a thing on the internet not too long ago. A guy was asking people about whether or not they were an atheist. And this one guy, he said, "Of course I'm an atheist. It's preposterous for people to believe that once you die, that there's something after that. All we do is we die and we..." People need to, he said, people need to understand and come to grips with the fact that when they die, they're buried in the ground and they become just for worms to eat. That's what he said. Do you see any joy in that? Do you see any purpose to live for that? When you die, you're going to be eaten by worms. That's it. Get over it. That's in essence what he said. Who's the fool? Who are the fools who believe in such? Are we the fools? Are we fools because we believe that there is life after death and that we'll be resurrected and changed one day? Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Again, I say it, many people have a problem with it because whenever they see someone, especially at a funeral, when you have a casket and you can see the person there, the body, I think the reason why many people have so much problem with that is because they realize that one day, it will be them there. And they don't want to cope with it. I had once, I love music. And I was listening once to Patti Loveless and one of her albums. And a relative heard the song. So that's pretty, a morbid song. What in the world is she singing about? I said, just listen to the words. Listen to her singing. Someday, I'll lead the parade. And she talks about that. I have to read you the lyrics of the song sometime. But she talks about that. You know what she's talking about? Someday, I'll lead the parade. What parade are you talking about? Someday, I'll be in a hearse. Someday, I'll lead the parade, and people will talk about me. And people will say wonderful things. That's what she says in the song. And that's what it's about. And many people, you see, when it comes to death, that's what they can't come to grips with. But you know why, brothers and sisters? You know why that is? Because they have no hope. They have no hope. The heart of the scriptures, the heart of things that we need to get across to people is that when they die, there is life after death. And the scriptures tells us that after death comes what? People need to be ready for that. That's why this is the heart of the gospel. And that's why, although I like it whenever we have our gather around the Lord's table, that we have the three crosses. That's why also that we have to get people beyond that. We sing the song, "Kneel at the cross, kneel at the cross." And that's all well and good. But we have got to take people beyond that. We can't stay at the cross. Yes, it was on the cross. He suffered and died for us, that propitiation. But see, if he just died on a cross, and that was it, where would we be? Doesn't there have to be something after the cross? So many people, they want it to stay at the cross, and they want to stay at the cross. But the scriptures tell us that no, he must be resurrected. Have you ever read any of Friedrich Nietzsche's? Nietzsche was famous. Famous German philosopher, 19th century. He died in an asylum. He went insane. To read some of his writings. He's one that wrote about the Superman, the Übermensch, the Superman and the will to power and that. And he didn't believe. His thinking, his philosophy, where nihilism comes from, drove him insane. He wrote this thing, prose, called The Madman. Have you ever read that to you? I'm going to read it to you again. He says, have you not heard of the madman who lit a lantern in the bright morning hours and ran to the marketplace and cried incessantly, I seek God? As many of those who do not believe in God were standing around just then, he provoked much laughter. Why? Did he get lost? Said one. Did he lose his way like a child? Said another. Or is he hiding? Is he afraid of us? Has he gone on a voyage? Or immigrated? Thus they yelled and laughed. The madman jumped into their midst and pierced them with his glance. And, whither is God? He cried. I shall tell you, we have killed him, you and I. All of us are his murderers. But how have we done this? How were we able to drink up the sea who gave us the sponge to wipe away the entire horizon? Are we not plunging continually backwards, sideward, forward, in all directions? Is there any up or down left? Are we not straying as through an infinite nothing? Do we not smell anything yet of God's decomposition? God's too decomposed, you know. God is dead. God remains dead, and we have killed him. How shall we, the murderers of all murderers, comfort ourselves? What was holiest, most powerful of all that the world has yet owned, has bled to death under our knives? Who will wipe this blood off? What water is there for us to clean ourselves? What festivals of atonement? What sacred games shall we have to invent? Is not the greatness of this deed too great for us? Must we not ourselves become gods simply to seem worthy of it? There has never been a greater deed, and whoever will be born after us, for the sake of this deed, he will be part of a higher history than all history hitherto. And here the madman fell silent and looked again at his listeners, and they too were silent and stared at him in astonishment. And at last he threw his lantern on the ground, and it broke, and it went out. He said, I come too early. My time has not come yet. This tremendous event is still on its way, still wondering. It has not yet reached the ears of man. Lightning and thunder require time. The light of the stars requires time. Deeds require time, and even after they are done, before they can be seen and heard. This deed is still more distant from them than the most distant stars. And yet, they have done it themselves. It has been related further that on that same day, the madman entered divers churches and there sang his requiem, Adonim Deo, led out and called to account. He is said to have replied each time, What are these churches now if they are not the tombs and sepulchres of God? A modern parody, for our time, even today. What are many churches but the tombs and sepulchres of God? That's what they want. And the God that they portray, is it the God of this word? Is it the God of the Scriptures? Is it the Jesus of the Scriptures? I tell you, it is not. Many of those churches today that we would see that are full, to be full, they're not hearing this. They're hearing what their itching ears want to hear. But I tell you, that God wants us to know. This may be what man says April Fool's Day. But you know what I believe? The joke is on man. The joke is on man. Not on God. For God sent His Son. His one and only Son. And brethren, if the dead are not raised, if we're not raised, Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is worthless. And we are still in our sins. It's not just the cross where Jesus overcomes sin and overcomes the things of the world. It's at His death. It's at His burial. It's at His resurrection. The resurrection means all. It should mean all to all of us. The resurrection touches on reality. It is reality, whether or not people want to believe it or not. People, we have got to, brothers and sisters, we have got to get to this place where the resurrection is our very life. When we die, going to be resurrected. The question is, how are we going to be resurrected? See? How are we going to be changed? So that, as John says, when we shall see Him, when He comes again, we shall see Him as He is. And so we shall be what? And so we shall be like Him. But only if we believe. If we've obeyed Him, and if we follow this, I'm going to close with this, because to me it's so important. That death was storm. Death indeed has been defeated. That's why Matthew 16:18 is so important. For Jesus said, "For I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Jesus was saying, "I'm going to overcome death, guys. The abode of the dead is going to be done. Me, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to build my church. And nothing is going to overcome that." And that's us. We will be resurrected. But only resurrection living. Is going to amount to the end. And it's only us believing that in this, that's going to prove to the world that's going to prove to the world that indeed Christ has risen again. He is. We sing that song? Hallelujah, Christ arose. He is risen. Go quickly now, tell his disciples. Does that relate to us today? Shouldn't that mean let's go tell others? You don't have anything to fear about death. Oh, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? If you're in Christ, it's not there. Because he overcame it. See? That's what it's all about. That's what it should be for us. Let's stand, we're going to sing. For God so loved the world. That's why we're here. That's why we come each and every Lord's Day. Because of that.